something. We're going to do something even if it's wrong. Amen. Judges chapter 9, look in verse 50, says, "Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew me. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place." And I want to reiterate verse 51, and then we'll turn to Proverbs 18. Verse 51 says, "But there is a strong tower within the city." Amen. Now, if you will, go over and flip to Proverbs 18, in 18, verse 10, in Proverbs 18, and then we'll flip right back to Judges. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." If you will, flip back to Judges, and we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless the message. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just want to thank you for being good to us. Lord, I want to thank you for all that your mercy that you afford us every day, Lord. And I know that it says that our benefits are new every day, dear Lord, and your mercy is everlasting. Lord, I don't even have a concept sometimes as a good father of what you keep us from. Lord, sometimes it seems like we go through so much and we go through things and it's almost overwhelming. And Lord, if you look at that, I don't even have a clue what I could do or what would happen to me if, Lord, you let everything come against me at once. And Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being a good father. Lord, thank you for your grace always being sufficient, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for just being so good. Lord, thank you for caring about these people and myself. And Lord, we're back here in the middle of nowhere in Red Level. And Lord, nobody else in the world seems to know where we're even at, but you know. And Lord, I want to thank you that you think that we're important as we're your children. And I'd ask you now, Lord, that you might open up my mind, open up my eyes and my heart as you open up my mouth to be able to preach what you've given me. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up the ears and the hearts of the people to receive it. And Lord, I pray that you might be glorified. I pray that you might be pleased with the things that are said here. And Lord, I don't even have a concept or clue of what a majority of people in here are going through, but I sure am glad that you know. Even if I knew, you still know what they need. Lord, I'm asking you to be on this message. I'm asking you to use it. I'm asking you to bless it. Lord, I pray that you'd breathe on it. Lord, and I pray that you might just be pleased with everything that's said and done. And Lord, I pray now that you'd be with this time in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 50, we'll reread verse 50 and go down to 51. It says, "Then went Abimelech to Thebez and camped against Thebez and took it." Pause. The pause is right there. I'll give you a backstory into what's going on. So in Judges, there are judges. Amen. And Abimelech now is coming against this strong tower before it's on the sixth judge. And some things are going on. And Abimelech's chasing the Israelites or chasing this people into this city called Thebez, and he encamps against it. He goes and surrounds it, if you will. And you think about that just for a second. You ever wondered? Let me back up. My son, I use him for about almost every preaching illustration I have, amen. He's a good walking preaching illustration. We were out in the woods with Brother Keith the other day moving a tree stand, and you know, he's knee-high to nothing. And he jumped off the trailer, and the grass is taller than him. And he fell down, and he's got stickers on his hands, and he's pulling them out. And he goes to walk, and he doesn't even see all the things that are in his way, all the stickers and the thistles and the thorns. And so I just step in front of him with my leg. I just move him to the side. And so he still falls because he's clumsy as all get out because his legs ain't that tall, you know. And so he's trying to make it, and he's fumbling and stumbling, and I'm kind of chuckling at him. But all the time I'm just looking at it like he didn't have a concept of the things that I just moved out of his way that were there, a snare and a snag, and would ultimately hurt him. Amen? Thorns hurt. Especially to a two-year-old, they probably hurt real bad. You ever wonder what the Lord just kind of moves out of your way every day that you never see because he's a good father? You don't have a clue what he just steps in front of and he moves them out of your way. Or he keeps them from interfering. Here, right here in Abimelech, he's encamped against this city of Thebes. You, friend, have an adversary chasing you. That adversary is the devil, amen? Peter writes about it. You have an adversary walking about, seeking whom they destroy, devour, looking for you. You know, the interesting thing about a lion is he never attacks straight on into the herd, amen? He never goes a group. He never attacks the group. It's the one lagging behind. The sickly one, like Brother Scott. Amen? It's the one that's just kind of lagging behind. The sick one. The one who's just hasn't been able to keep up. And that's the one he just takes out instantly. But here, the people, as a whole, they've ran to this city called Thebes. An interesting thing about this particular city you find in verse 51, it says, and there was a strong tower within that city. You ought to think about what makes a strong tower. Well, it has to be more than just the structure. You think about it, because I'll give you an illustration. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, amen? The structure of it is sound. The foundation is not sound. You know, I'm sure that most of you in here probably know more about it than I do, but I did a little bit of research, and they started building that thing, and they didn't worry about making the foundation sound. So as they're building it, it starts to lean, amen? It starts to lean and lean and lean. They finally stop construction. And then, you know what somebody had the bright idea to do? We'll go the other way. You know, kind of counterlever it. That's something that I would build with my son with the Lego blocks. You counterlever it. So they start building it the other direction. And it continues to sag. Instead of tearing it down and working on the foundation, they continue building it. And what you have today is a useless tower. It's something to go see, amen? It's on postcards. You might go look at it, but you wouldn't want to climb in it and live there. Let me phrase that. I wouldn't. And I've done a lot of crazy stuff. It's already leaning, and you think, well, the first good wind comes through there, it's going to knock that joker down. They've actually had to go in there and put I-beams up to support it to keep it from falling completely over. You say, what's the problem? The sound structure, the soundness of the foundation is not there. And then again, even though a strong tower could look good, it's not made for you to live in. How about the Washington or Lincoln Memorial up there? That big old thing they got. It's something to look at. Some people look at the Lord Jesus Christ as it's a fun thing to look at. You know, they come to church, amen, and they'll walk around and they'll wonder and they'll ooh in their eye. They got a whole Bible of all the miracles. Matter of fact, it says over there in John that if all the things, the books of the whole world couldn't contain it, that's something to marvel at, friend. And you think about that, of how marvelous and how amazing he it is. And then we walk out right back into the fray and never run back to that strong tower in time of need. But apparently these people had a different mindset, the mentality. They knew where they could go to a strong tower. And they ran to that strong tower. And as we read over there in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord himself has a firm foundation, amen. And the Bible says that he pulled me out of a miry pit. But then it also says in Psalms that he set me on a large place. You know something about that foundation of that tower that's his? That foundation is so large that no matter where I can go, I can't outrun the love of Christ for me. His love and his chastisement because I'm his son, amen. You think about that, I can travel around the world. And I can probably escape from my personal problems or from people, but I couldn't run far enough from him. I could go out into space. I don't think I want to go out there, but I could go out into space or to another planet, and I couldn't outrun him. I can't fathom that large place that he set me on, because red level sometimes seems big if I'm walking it, amen? You think about it, of all the places you go in the world, you can't get away from the Lord, even if you wanted to. Technically, I don't want to, but in verse 51, it says there was a strong tower within the city. leads me to think that these people have been there, they've looked at it, they've studied, probably been on the inside of it, like people go by a church and they look at it and they marvel at it. Me and my wife went to a place in St. Augustine. It was this beautiful church. The acoustics were amazing. They let her play, we were talking about playing the organ and the piano, and they wouldn't let her play it, and so they just hit this little sound system, and they played it, and the acoustics were just amazing. And so there's a pulpit real elevated, and I said, can I get behind that pulpit? Because I would love to preach. And he said, I know you can't get up there. I said, well, it's just right there. You know, I'm not going to hurt anything. No, they don't trust anybody to go up the stairs to some other nonsense. I was like, the acoustics in this building, I'm sure, could reverberate because I can get a little loud. And I'm thinking, it would just be amazing to get behind that pulpit. They've got it set up. And I would just marvel at it. Amen? I don't want to ever go back to it, but it's pretty neat. You know, people have a misconception of the Lord and His strength and His abilities and the might of Him. And they come to church and they run to Him and they ask Him to fix a problem or a situation or a circumstance. And the Lord's good, amen? And He just might. And then they'll just walk out like nothing ever happened. And they'll, not necessarily out of this church, but just walk away from Him. And they'll just think they've got it. They've got it. They took care of it. It's good. And continue on. But here are these people in verse 51, and there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city. It's a place of refuge. The Lord is a place of refuge in a time of trouble. Amen? If you've never been, and I'm sure most of you in here have all experienced some trouble or trial or tribulation, you could probably attest more than I could of how the Lord is a place of refuge. And it's a place to go in time of a storm. It's amazing how we just had that storm come through and the devastation that some wind and rain could do. Amen? But you know something about this strong tower? The wind and rain would never affect it. Now, the wind and rain never affects the Lord in His strength and His abilities. It's a place where He wants people to come, of casting all their cares upon Him because He careth for you. It's a place where He wants to draw you to and just wants you to come instead of being out there amongst it, trying to deal with it on your own. It's a place that He wants you to run to. And here it says, and they all they of the city, and shut it up to them. You know, it's interesting that once they get inside that door, nothing can come in that door behind them unless the Lord wants it to come in. I find that marveled. I find that amazing that door, that strong tower, I can envision like an old castle, like a rook, a chess piece, and a big old castle. That's what I'm envisioning in my head. And there's one door, there's one way in, there's one way out. And when the people come in, just like that ark with Noah, and the door shut and sealed, and nothing could touch them. That's how the Lord is with us. Nothing's going to touch you unless He allows it to touch you. Pain, hurt, sorrow, nothing will touch you unless He allows it to touch you. Amen? But think about that. Once the door shuts, anybody ever went to a jail and you heard that clanging of a door? I had the opportunity to go there and preach, first time I ever heard that door, I was terrified because I wasn't sure they'd open it, especially if they run who I was. I was like, man, they've got me now. And thank the Lord they've opened it since then, but that's a distinct from noise that shuts. It's a clang. And just kind of rings through your ears a little bit. I'm sure this door, when it shut, they'd never forget that sound it make. And it says, and it got them up to the top of the tower. When these people got in this tower, running from their issues, running from the enemy, the adversary, if you will, you know what they did when they got there? They didn't all just huddle by the door waiting to get out. They went as high as they could to it. You say they're running from their problems? No, I look at it as they're running to the Lord. Over there in Isaiah, it talks about how you mount up with eagle's wings and basically you fly so high and you get so close to the Lord that the things and the problems and the issues and the circumstances, they ultimately should just start to dwindle and dwindle. They never go away, but they should get a little smaller. I had the opportunity when I was one time in Atlanta, Georgia, I got to hang iron on the 24th floor of a skyrise. That's way up there on an 8-inch I-beam, amen? And you're looking down, and the trucks and the vehicles look like ants running around. I was like, well, that'd be a bad day if I fell. Amen? But ultimately, when you get so high to the Lord in that strong tower of time of prayer, you know when you're praying, and the Lord shows up and he sits down in the room or next to you, realistically, all the problems seem to diminish a little bit. They just seem to get a little smaller when the glory of the Lord shows up near you. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you ought to try it today. Get home, turn off the TV, don't watch the ball game or whatever's on TV that's got your attention, amen, and just you get alone in prayer. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. Well, just don't say anything. Just ask the Lord to show up and show you something. Because you've got some problems, you've got some issues, and you close that door to whatever it is you close. And you just get alone with him for a little while. And you just try to look on him for a minute. The problem with the people over there in Numbers, oh, I believe it was 14 or 17, with the spies is 10 of them had the wrong vision. 2 of them had the right vision. 10 of them saw things larger than they actually were. And they said that they were like grasshoppers. You know how big a guy would have to be for me to be a grasshopper? That's big old youngin'. Amen. Now I got there were giants and they were people of Anakin's and over there and all that, but a giant to make me look like a grasshopper would be, oh, 15-story fella. That's unheard of, unreal. But the perception that they had magnified it so much. Have you ever looked at an ant through a magnifying glass? That's a terrifying individual. You wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley any day. But you could crush him with your pinky. My son could kill him. But if you focus on something and focus on something and focus on something, you really do blow it out of proportion. I'm not saying there's not problems and issues. But the more you focus on it, the more you magnify it, the bigger it gets. How about magnifying the Lord and what he can do? Nonetheless, these people got him up to the top of the tower and they're trying to get as far away from the enemy as they could, the adversary. And they get as close as to the Lord they could. In verse 52 it says, and Abimelech came into the tower and fought against the people inside. Is that what it says? It says they fought against it. Abimelech, the enemy, the adversary, is not fighting against the people. He's fighting against the tower. Now, so far, have you seen anywhere where these people are fighting back? No. They don't have weapons or warfare or spears or bows and arrows or hot oil or whatever medieval thing I can think of. They don't have anything of that. All you have is Abimelech coming and fighting against that tower. It's just like the Lord. When you run to him in prayer, you know who the adversary fights against? It ain't you, friend. He's fighting against your Savior. Here's something to think about. When somebody cusses you out, there's a reason they're doing it. Because they know that it's going to elicit a certain response. Can I get an amen? They know one word should make you say or act or react this way. Amen? If you say a certain word, blood pressure is going to rise up, something's going to spew out of somebody's mouth. Amen? Or lead to violence or whatever it is. There's a reaction that's supposed to take place. So therefore, who's behind that person? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, amen, but against principalities and power of air. It's not them that's fighting against you. It's the one they're being used by, and they don't even have a concept of it. You keep reading in Judges, and you have Delilah. Delilah's not the one that deceived Samson. She's just being used. She's being used by the 5 lords of the Philistines, and they worship Dagon. And Dagon is just another name ultimately for the devil. So who's ultimately using and manipulating Delilah? The devil. Or at least a devil. Against one of God's people. The devil's using all those people filtered down, being used, and they don't even see it. You say, what is that? What do you mean? Be careful that when people come against you, you don't lose focus of who it is that's really coming against you. It's not the person sitting next to the pew that's your issue, friend. It's the one that you actually can't see. It's the one that we're supposed to fight against. And then we run to the Lord, and he gives you the strength, he gives you the grace, and he gives you the wisdom to fight against them. Amen? You think he gives you everything you need. It's when you lead to your own understanding is when everything falls apart. Amen. Right here, and it says, and Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. Think about that for a second. You envision this strong tower, however it looks in your mind. And you have that big old door right there, big wooden door. And you run through that door, and the door closes behind you. And you run up as far as you can, and you can see the enemy coming. And they're fighting against the tower, and they're trying to burn the door, and they're trying to get in. And the fear sets in, and your heart rate is escalated because of the worry and the concern. Friend, when you have to run to this strong tower, normal days don't exist. These folks didn't go to Walmart that day, did they? They didn't go plow the field that day. They didn't answer the phone call. They didn't get online, social media. They didn't do the normal things that they normally do. Normalcy has ceased to exist when you need to run to this strong tower of the Lord. It's not a normal day any day anymore. I can think of days like that. My mind's rolling back now to days like that, where you get that phone call, you get that text, you get that situation, a circumstance where normal day, you wish to God it was a normal day. Amen. Who gets bored of normal days? Amen. Praise the Lord for a normal day. That you don't get that phone call. And that you don't get that phone call from the pastor saying that they're fixing to do emergency surgery. Because somebody else's life is up. So somebody else gets to live. Somebody else got that phone call, that same phone call, just a different tone. Not an encouraging phone call. Hey, we're going to go get some new lungs. Hey, so-and-so's passing away. That's the phone call somebody else got. You with me? I mean, praise the Lord that they were willing to do all that. But nonetheless, it's a hard day. It's not a what you would call a normal day, is it? That's not nothing normal about that day. But here, Abimelech and the adversary is trying to burn this door with fire. They're trying to get in. They're trying to get to these people. It's the door is the only thing keeping them from inside is that door. You know what's interesting about that door? Is you don't really know what happens to that door. As we read on, it just says it gets burnt with fire. You don't know if it got burnt where they could barely see through it. You don't know if it got burnt where it was barely hanging on by the hinges. You don't know. You don't know. But you know what I do know? That door held. The people weren't harmed. You know what I know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Of all the things, I don't have a concept about Calvary. But I can give you the verses where the bulls of Bashan were there. And I can give you verses over in Isaiah where he's standing there. And he's saying, who will contend with me? He's on a cross, man, asking who will come against him. I don't have a clue how the wrath of God was poured out on his only begotten Son. I can give you a verse on it, but I don't understand it. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the spiritual aspect. I don't know. But you know what I do know? Just like this door, it held. He was on that cross until he said it was finished. And brother, when it was finished, it was finished. There was no more fighting. There was no more agony. There was no more distress. Victory was won that day. And this door right here, all I know about that door in verse 52 is the people on the inside never got hurt. You know what's interesting about that door according to John chapter 10? He says, Jesus Christ says, I am the door. Then it goes on to say how he'll let his sheep in and out to green pastures. This door won't keep you in somewhere. In Homestead, Florida, there's a guy who built a thing called the Coral Castle. I've never been to it, just read about it. And he used old physics and different things. Here's a 9-ton door, leads into it, made of coral. And it just pivots on two points. And they said the hand of a child could open that door, 9-ton door. The hand of a child can hold on to and just press against it, and it swivels with ease. That reminds me of the Lord. The faith of a child can open that door to salvation. Amen. But all the armies of hell can come against it, and it won't budge. You know that door right here? The one bad thing, if I can say something bad about this strong tower, if you want to get out, while the enemy's raging, he'll let you out. He's not going to keep you shut up. That same door that you touched to get in for safety and security and some help and some hope, that same door, when a pressure's applied from the inside, will open up and let you lean to your own understanding and walk right out there amongst everybody and just die spiritually. You say, well, he's a good father. He sure is. He's a good father. But he's not going to force you to do anything. I can conform my son's outward opinion, his outward appearance, amen? I don't know if you know that, but that's what they do in jail. Everybody wears the same outfit, amen? Pretty close, striped kind of-ish. But the heart's the test. When they get out, you see if on the inside has been conformed as well as the outside. And you know good and well that it's a minority of people that the heart's changed on the inside. But everybody looks the same on the outside. Right here, the Lord gives an opportunity to somebody to have their trust and have their faith tried and have the understanding that he's got it. I can't even imagine all the sounds taking place outside of this. Think about it. There's a war raging outside. People are trying to hurt them. They want to kill them. They want to annihilate them. The screaming, the shouts, the beating, the utter terror that could be going on the inside. And the faith that has to be applied not to run. I can't really comprehend that yet. Kind of rolls back to when Noah, always picture Noah on that ark, and the Lord shut that door and he sealed it. Well, Noah couldn't have got out if he wanted to, amen? You see these people in a verse? If they wanted to get out, all they had to do was open the door and get out. The hard thing about Christianity, friend, is letting go. It's that surrender. Lord, I don't see the outcome in it. I don't see how it's going to work out. God, I don't see how you're going to work it out for your glory. And since I don't see it, I want to put my hands all on it. But I trust you. And the Lord said, you trust me? I trust you. I don't know if that door is going to hold because I think like the whole world is falling apart. And it's going to come in on me and I can't handle it. I'm about to just have a high-speed come apart. Inside. But I trust you that door is going to hold like it held on Calvary. It didn't falter, it didn't fail, it didn't waver. Nothing happened. And Lord, I'm just going to trust you one more time that you'll take care of it, just like you've always done. That really is when faith steps in, friend. And that really is tough. That's hard, amen. It's hard to take your hands off something and let the Lord do it. Let me phrase that. It's hard for me to take my hands off it and let the Lord do it. It may be easy for you. You may have arrived spiritually. I don't know. But it's hard for me and people I love and and I care for to take my hands off of them and say, Lord, they're just yours to do whatever. I'm going to tell you my heart, I'll pour it out. But ultimately, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you that you'll just keep us safe in this strong tower. And in verse 53, it shows something right here. It says, and a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Now think about that just for a second. You've got one woman. That's what it says, a woman, right? One woman casting a piece of a millstone. She casts one stone, and it hits the one guy that it needs to hit. What are the chances of that, man? You don't think the Lord's all in that? And she's doing all she can to keep it together for her family's sake. I love how it's just a woman and not some man, brother. The woman's got more fortitude to just try to do something, to try to not to take things in her own hand, but just follow in the Lord, because ultimately faith and prayer in this right here is the only weapons of warfare they have or you have stuck in this tower. If you're willing to be stuck in the tower, amen. She does. She goes up here and she does her best. And she takes that stone. I have no idea. There must have been thousands of people down there. And you can't tell me that she knew which one to hit. And however high a strong tower is, I'll just say 100 feet. A lot can happen when someone's falling in 100 feet, amen? Somebody can sidestep, somebody can duck, somebody can shift. But it all happened just how the Lord wanted it to happen. But nonetheless, it shows something. It shows that you have three ways that you can fight this battle of this piece of stone. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, He is the chief cornerstone, amen? Oh, when you're having to run to that place, you can just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simplest thing. You know, you say, what am I doing? You're just casting stones at it. Because He is the rock, amen? He's not like any other rock, according to Deuteronomy. He's the rock. Not like Dwayne, either. He's the real rock. You say, what else do you have? This word right here. Do people not stumble at it and over it? I think it's just the 1 Peter. It's called a stumbling stone as well. You can throw the word at it. You can throw the word at your adversary. Now, that's why it's important to memorize and have scriptures. I don't care if you've got them sticky notes all around your house. Because, friend, I'll tell you, when times get hard, sometimes you can't remember all the Bible verses you used to remember. And you'll need a reference to go back to pretty quick. Let me phrase it, I do. You'll have to have somewhere you can turn to. Because if you don't know exactly where to go, that's a big old book, amen? And the third thing you can do, and in Samuel it's called an Ebenezer stone. You can cast that stone down there. You say, what is that? Oh, hitherto hath the Lord helped. It's a place in time where the Lord did something, and if He hadn't have done anything, you wouldn't have made it through. It's a time of remembrance, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school. It's a time of remembrance of the Lord doing something when something shouldn't have ever happened. You shouldn't have made it through. You shouldn't have had the strength to endure unless the Lord just did something special that day. And so you can plead the blood, and you can remember Scripture, you can memorize Scripture and throw it at it. And then ultimately, the last thing you could do is just remember when the Lord never let you down yet. I don't know about you, friend, but He's never let me down. I've never understood things. I didn't understand situations and circumstances and outcomes, and He's never shown me the big picture of why it all worked out. Thank God. But I just know He's never let me down. And my mind can recall times where I shouldn't have made it through. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally and spiritually. I shouldn't have made it through. And the Lord just did something for me that day. I story after story. I'm thinking one right now. You say, a bunch of people there? No, just one old man that I'd never met before in my life. He was there. The Lord just showed up and did something for me. He didn't do anything for that old man, I don't guess. But He did something special for me that day. And in verse 53, all you can do is all you can do. If it's one time that you have to do it or 1,000, you just keep doing it and keep doing your part. Do your part. And the Lord's always faithful to do His. You know what your part is? To run to the tower. Try not to take it all on yourself. Run to Him, amen. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for His strength. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for the things that He can give. And then let all the enemies come against Him. We've already proved one time He can take it. How much more proof do you need? He already proved on Calvary He could take it. It's tougher, though, when it's you, amen. When it's your decision. And right there, you're throwing the stones out. You're throwing it. Do the best of your ability to just try to keep sanity and just trust it in Him and faith in Him. Then ultimately, something happens. It's miraculous. The storm breaks, if you will. The enemy starts to subside. The enemy leaves here after they see that their leader is killed. They all leave in 54. Won't keep reading it. But you know what's not in the verses? Is when that door opens back up and the people walk out. Things look kind of the same, but they're different. If you've ever had to be shut up in that tower, you know what I'm talking about. You can walk back out, the birds are chirping, the sky's blue, but something's different on the inside. The landscape might look a little different. You're different. And then normalcy kind of kicks in one more time for a little while until the enemy shows back up one more time. You say, what is that? That's a place of refuge to run to in a time of trial and tribulation when the enemy's chasing and ready to kill you, or the situations and circumstances seem so overwhelming. But be careful, friend, you don't take it so flippantly, that the Lord's always going to work it out just like he always has. You think about it. When they walked out, it just says that they encamped against the whole city. So you know what they did? They probably leveled the whole hillside trying to make armament and batteries, and all the fields they'd worked all their life to take care of, all those things were gone. It was all gone. Life was normal because they were alive, but everything around them was different. Praise the Lord, they got out, amen? Praise the Lord took care of them. But I like what it doesn't say, that they weren't bitter at all. They weren't bitter that they had to rebuild, and they weren't bitter that everything was different. They were just thankful that the door and the tower held. Be careful. Be careful you don't take the Lord and his grace for granted. Amen. And just because he changes things that you don't understand, that you don't get bitter or upset. I asked you, I said it at the beginning, I said, the Lord's still good. And everybody said amen. But it's hard to say that when you come out and everything's just shattered. You're good, amen, but everything else has just been leveled. It's tough then to look up and say, you're still good, Lord. Appreciate it. Appreciate you taking care of me. I pray you just give me the strength to just keep going. I'll tell you what, if you will, let's all stand. While you're standing, I'll tell you, well, let's all, every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, while Brother Turner's coming. I just want you to think about something for a minute.